Keeping It Brief is a discussion show centered around current events of questionable importance. While the guys occasionally sound like they know what they're talking about, nothing they say should be considered fact. Also, the show deals with adult themes and includes adult language. If you can't handle that, well, get the fuck out.
I think I'm gonna put on Wu-Tang Enter the Seven Chambers, and I'm just gonna watch all of these to Wu-Tang. You know, Derek, I just like to set myself up for success. What can I say?
They can deconstruct my porn habits all they want, but I don't know if they're going to get too far.
What do you think Angela Merkel's porn habits are?
Optimus Prime gets infinity miles to the gallon. All right, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it fucking big. You guys ready?
I'm in.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Keeping It Brief. Not only did we return from a little bit of a hiatus again, but we're doing a summer movie preview, which is always what I think we would call a good time. My name is Christian. I am your co-host and moderator, and I am joined, as always, by the two other members of the Quaint Triumvirate. Coming at us from San Francisco, we have Derek Schiffenauer, DJS. What does it feel like to be the only person currently in the greatest city in the world?
It feels odd, Christian. We're breaking new ground here on the podcast. I don't know what to do being the only guy in San Francisco. I'm used to recording from the great frozen north.
Yeah, that is kind of a nice little change. As Derek referenced, and as I referenced, he is the only one in San Francisco. I'm currently in Portland, Oregon, which is a lovely place, but I don't know it quite as well. Joining us from a little bit of a different place, shall we say, is Kevin Osmond. And Kevin, where are you at right now?
I am actually out in Bloomington, Indiana right now. Indiana University graduation commencement stuff going on this weekend, and I just took a nice 6 a.m. out here, and it's been we've had quite the day so far. So, got out here and just getting a little Americana in for the weekend.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I guess we should reference that the reason why KO and I sound lower quality than Derek is that both of us blew the bring your microphones with you when you go to a different place part of this whole equation. So we are recording on, the goodness of the ThinkPad over here is what I got going on. So as previously stated, we are going to discuss a little bit about the upcoming summer movie season. And I think it's fair to say that this is one of the more interesting times for the film world. Derek, would you call this your favorite movie season, or how do you feel about the big summer situation?
As far as this summer in particular, as opposed to others, or just the summer phenomenon in general?
I guess both, yeah.
Okay, yeah, as far as just the general season of summer movies being the huge tentpole pictures, the big studio releases, I love the summer movies. You know, in the winter, you have more of the Oscar bait, which are always good quality films. But, I love my summer movies. That's where most of the superhero movies reside. And that's kind of my wheelhouse. As far as this summer goes, it kind of feels like a prelude for me for next summer, where we're going to have both Avengers 2, Batman versus Superman, and then later on in the year, Star Wars Episode 7. So 2015 is where it's at, but there's still some good stuff in 2014 that I'm excited for.
Okay. KO, do you concur with that, or are you happy that we don't have an Avengers in the middle of the summer?
I think that there's enough of this crazy action stuff going on that we don't really need that now. Avengers is going to make money whenever it does, so I'd like to save my movie going fun times for I'd like to save my summertime for other more mindless movies, and the Avengers can be like a nice treat in like April or November when they drop that one down.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with that. I'm excited that there's a little bit wider of a range. I think it doesn't feel like there is a single film that's really taken over the entire thing. Like the Avengers will next summer. So I'm actually looking forward to this summer movie season. I do like the popcorn flicks. I do enjoy, you know, unnecessary explosions, potty humor, and, you know, just general franchising is always a good thing in my mind. So we're going to jump right into a few of the movies we are looking forward to the most of this upcoming season. And the first is what we're going to call our monster franchises. And we don't mean big, giant franchises. We specifically mean creatures. And the first one I'd like to talk about is a movie that has gotten a lot of pub recently. And this is the new incarnation of the Japanese classic Story of Godzilla. And I must say that I am exceedingly excited for this movie. It takes place in San Francisco. I always enjoy media that takes place in a setting that I know. And I'm looking forward to Fat Godzilla, because I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Japanese people have said that the new Godzilla needs to hit the elliptical, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, which I thought was a kind of a funny critique, because when I've seen the new updated Godzilla model, it seems pretty close to home as far as a good rendition or a good reference to the original 1954 version, just a lot bigger. But, just a bigger version, not a fatter version.
Yeah, height-wise, this thing is like four times as big as the original one was. Like, this thing has gotten a little out of control. But what I'm actually excited for is it looks like a well-made film. It doesn't look like it's just going to be, about what this monster is doing. I think there's going to be a little bit more going on. Maybe it's just because I trust Bryan Cranston to make wise franchise decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I will see this movie in theaters. Let's make that a thing. Will you see this movie in theaters? Yes or no? KO.
Oh, probably not. Probably going to be a no.
Okay, Derek?
For me, I think this is actually a midnight release movie.
Ooh, wow.
I'm real excited for it.
Okay, I like that. Well, staying with, I guess, San Francisco-based franchises as well as creatures, we have a new entree, mm-hmm. in the third Planet of the Apes saga. And this is another movie that I think I'm probably more excited for than the average person, and that is Chaos You Can Speak To, because the last one was actually really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the last one. I think James Franco, probably career performance from James Franco right there, just kind of showed up, didn't like do anything outlandish or any, he just kind of fit within the movie and slid right along. They put a lot of humanity into the ape, and I think that was the key to the movie. They really got him to people to really feel, and I kind of felt like personally invested in wanting this guy to succeed. And you really see his emotions and kind of his development as an individual, and so they did a really good job of that. And I think they also, having Draco Malfoy be the bad guy really puts everybody in the ape's corner. So they really got kind of like they did a good job with the casting there, I think, in that first movie. So they set themselves up nicely for a sequel here, maybe a second run at another four or five Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah,
I think so as well. Derek, are you interested in seeing this film?
Yeah, I am. This will also be a see in the theaters kind of movie for me. I like that they're adding Gary Oldman to the mix. He's always great, so I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, as far as motion captured characters go, there isn't a more fully realized character in movies today than the ape Caesar. We should also say Andy Serkis is playing him, who is also playing Godzilla. So
we'll yeah. So this is, I guess, maybe the Andy Serkis.
The Andy Serkis circus.
Right here.
If you will.
Circus of circus. Mm-hmm. Cirque de circus.
Exactly.
If you will. The no James Franco, not a big deal to me. I would trade Gary Oldman for James Franco in just about any role. I would definitely have liked to see Gary Oldman play the pothead drug dealer in Pineapple Express. I think that would have made for a great experience. However, I don't know if the reverse is quite the same. Maybe a little bit like how the Bitcoin works.
Sure.
I don't really know if James Franco would have held up in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy quite the same way as Gary Oldman was. And he certainly would not be quite as good of a Commissioner Gordon.
Certainly not.
Yeah, so see this movie in theaters, yes or no? KO.
Yeah, this is a theater movie for me, for sure. Saw the last one in theaters, really didn't like that one, and so I'm going to give this one a second go here.
Yeah. Great. And Derek.
And I agree with KO. Yes, that is a yes for me as well.
Great. I would say I'm about 80% yes, but I will not be as disappointed if I don't see this one in theaters. So I think the first one was just good. Like, I wouldn't mind watching it at home. Whereas Godzilla, I want to see it. I want to see it big. That might be like IMAX status, you know?
Yeah, that's an IMAX movie, absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are big, and so we say big and bay, Michael Bay has two wonderful films coming out, one of which is part of the just money printing factory that is the Transformers franchise. And in this Transformers, I don't know, are you guys familiar with what the plot involves?
I'm not. All I know is Shia dipped out and he was replaced by Mark Wahlberg. That's as far as
I don't know if it was I don't know if it was like a dip out or more of like a tag team, you know, your turn, buddy. Might have been a little bit of that, but the subtitle, to give you a little bit of an idea of the film, is Transformers: Age of Extinction.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. And so this film will feature an entirely new cast, and it will feature the Dinobots, which I'm not particularly familiar with, but I can only assume mean robot dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the preview makes that very clear. And the one thing that I don't fully understand is why you would rely on if you could make any kind of robot, why would you make it of a species that, like, that it got extinct? Like, wouldn't you want to pick something that, like, has a better, like, T-Rexes, their arms were so short, they were, like, unusable. That was, like, a bad natural evolution issue. And, like, but someone builds a machine that gives T-Rexes small arms again. And it just, there's a few, that's going to be my hard part. But, of course, if you're going to see a Transformers movie, I don't think you can attach yourself too much to the logic of...
Okay, I don't think anyone builds the Transformers. I think they're a sentient race from a different planet. And... I think the arm thing is a little less of a concern, where you can just fold all your shit up into whatever crazy contraption you can think of. But I do wonder why they don't just take the whole bitch over in the dinosaur age. It's not like there's anything that's going to fight back against them. So I'm interested to see how Marky Mark involves himself in both the dino age and the Transformers world. Except I'm not. Will you guys be seeing this movie? Is this a C movie?
No. This is a this is definitely one of those. This is a Sunday afternoon. Like, this time next year, I will watch this movie.
I don't even think I will,
like,
ever
when
watch
it's on
this,
FX.
Derek.
When it's on FX, and I just roll it out in there.
Yeah, that might be as far as I go. This might be a FX or TNT tune-in kind of movie for me. I haven't seen a Transformers movie since the first one, which I enjoyed, but
the first one.
I just fell off after that, and just based on the reviews, I don't think I've missed much, and I don't think I'm planning on seeing this one either.
Do you guys remember how big of a deal Megan Fox was after that first Transformers movie?
Oh, yeah, she was the shit for a bit.
Ooh, woof, dude. That was peak Fox, I would say. You think that was as good as it got?
Oh, like, for sure. That was right her. Then? That was the height. That was the height of her career, without question. She's who knows? I mean, who knows? She's getting a comeback this summer, but she's not going to do much better than Michael Bay. Like, she doesn't have to do any acting. You know, she just kind of shows up and, like, runs in slow motion. Like, that was like the hardest thing she had to do. So I think she's...
I think it was the car scene, right? That was, like, the big one when she was just, like, working underneath the hood. sweating. Yeah.
That was the money shot for of that movie right there. They're like, this is what the $2 million is for. It's for this scene right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So another Michael Bay film that is being released is, for whatever reason, another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Starring.
I don't know if we need this, but are you ready for the best part about this? And the, shall we say, the segue? Megan Fox stars in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie as April O'Neil.
Oh, man. It's all connected. Bay's larger universe is all connected.
Oh, gosh.
The Bayverse, if you will.
Are we going to get a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Transformers cross film coming up here till kind of maybe the year after Batman vs. Superman?
Oh, my God. I would love for a Transformers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover, and then all of a sudden, Nicolas Cage's character from either The Rock or Con Air, depending on what Bay wants to do, comes on in to, like, save the day. That would be the greatest.
Ooh, I think you'd have to be the guy from Con Air, because that's a little more badass in the Con Air character.
What are you talking about? The other guy broke into Alcatraz.
Yeah, but Sean Connery broke into Alcatraz. He followed. You know, if he doesn't have Sean Connery in that movie, he's nothing. Whereas in Con Air, he kind of handles some shit. I mean, he kills
a
man on his own.
He saves the entire West Coast from a nuclear attack, KO.
Nah,
he stabs himself in the heart.
He kills a man
twice
with his bare hands in Con Air, dude. He kills a man.
Yeah, that is true.
And then he takes on like a whole gang of felons. He's a. I have some more.
And then he lands a plane on the Vegas Strip.
Yeah, he's got skills. That's the point. That man, Con Air, Nick Cage was. I would venture to say that is peak Nick Cage as well. Just wheeling and dealing right there.
All right, actual question: who the fuck is going to go see this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
I mean, I'm sure they.
Might actually.
There's still like 8 to 15 year old that are actual fans of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like actively.
You might go
and
see
there's
this
a ton of, and there's a ton of nostalgia. Like anybody, this is something where it's like if somebody really wanted to see it, I could get dragged to this movie. I wouldn't go see it on my own volition, but I could get taken to this movie and be like, all right, like I'll go check out what Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are about. Just because
I
love.
I feel like they just made another one of these though.
They had a recent computer-generated one that came out a couple years ago. This is the first live-action movie since Turtles 3, like in the early 90s.
Oh, really? The one where they go to Japan?
The one where they go back in time to Japan.
I fucking love that movie.
Oh, man. For me, number two was the best one, Secret of the Ooze with Vanilla mm-hmm. Ice at the end. Oh, that was the best.
Go, ninjas! Go, ninjas! Go! Go, ninjas! Go, ninjas! Go!
Absolutely. Second best movie sung theme song after Ghostbusters being the first.
Okay, I don't have the time to look into how wrong that is, but I'm just going to say it's wrong.
All right. Well, you can come back at me with some facts someday and we can debate that fact.
Okay. Will we be seeing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Derek?
Yes.
KO.
It's gonna be. I'm gonna be a leaning no.
Yeah, I'm a big no.
Big no big. From Christian.
I want to
big no.
I want to give Megan Fox another chance, man. You never know. You never know what she's got left.
They have like noses and ears. Have you guys seen the screenshots? They look weird.
They do. They look like they're the same turtles from the early '90s live action movies that just have not aged well. Like they're middle aged now and just have been hitting the bottle a little too much. And
they've been hanging out with. They've been on the same program as Mark Hamill.
poor Mark.
I was probably uncalled for. Sorry, Mark. Okay, speaking of heroes, though, that is a nice again segue into the next little set that we like to talk about. And these are our superhero films. Mm-hmm. And this set has already kind of got the ball rolling with two different films. The first being Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and the second being The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah. Have you guys seen either of these movies?
Saw Captain America. I really liked it. Best April opening of all time for that one. And then Spider-Man came out last weekend to a tune of $90 million, which was nothing to laugh at. Have not seen it yet. Am interested to do so. I might actually go out and see it this weekend.
Cool. KO, I realized that we saw Captain America together now that I've asked the question. So yep. I know you were there.
Oh, yeah. That was that was quite the movie.
It was really exactly what I think I was looking for in a... in one of these summer type films.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know too much about the backstory. Didn't feel like there was too much thought going on. Just good, fun, blowing of shit up, lots of plot inconsistencies, great stuff.
I actually liked that part of the movie the entire time until the end when, spoiler alert, literally nothing got resolved. Like that's the one, that was like the one thing that really got me. Was we watched the whole movie and it's like, sure, all this shit happens, I don't care. Literally, the bad guy got away, and it was revealed that the whole thing they were fighting was really a bigger organization, and they just touched the surface. It's just like, holy shit, guys. Like, what did we just spend 2 hours doing right here? So it just got away from me at the end right there, but I really, I was kind of into it up until then. I was a fan. I think Captain America's got a good, I kind of like him. He's second to Iron Man, I would say. I kind of like his Marvel character in this Avengers universe they have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I agree.
I also have not. I didn't do Amazing Spider-Man 1. I didn't see it, and I don't know if I feel any need to.
Who's the bad guy in that movie?
It's the Lizard, which is kind of.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
Second tier Spider-Man villain.
I don't think I've seen that one either. But what was your opinion of it, Derek?
It's okay. It takes kind of a new spin on the origin story, which they kind of need to because the other Spider-Man movies had an origin story like less than 10 years ago. What I will say about this, which was really good, is Andrew Garfield is an excellent Peter Parker, much better than Tobey Maguire ever was. So if this was the original Spider-Man series, and there wasn't the trilogy that came out before, I probably would like it a lot more. It's just, it's so soon to relaunch a franchise.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. It feels like, you know how it's like, in Big Daddy, it's, we wasted the good surprise on you. It kind of feels like, we wasted all the good villains on you, Tobey Maguire. Right. And now, like, I've already seen James Franco as the Green Goblin. Like, I don't need another, I just couldn't, like, re-get into it, I don't think. Will you guys see Amazing Spider-Man 2, excuse me?
I will, and probably will this weekend.
Okay.
Ooh. I think it's past my expiration date for me now. It's going to be a rental for me.
Yeah, it's been out for 2 weeks. Fuck it.
Yep.
Okay, movie that we are very excited for, at least I am very excited for, because I think this may be prior to the explosion of the comic book movies, my favorite group of superheroes, and that is the X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Are we looking forward to this as a team, or is it just me?
I'm in on the team.
Yeah, I'm in on this as well. Days of Future Past is the big movie adaptation of probably the widely considered the best X-Men comic book storyline of all time. It's definitely up there in the conversation, and it includes both casts of the original trilogy and the newer first class, and it's all kind of bridged by Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, who kind of goes back in time between the two casts, which is really cool, and I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome when you don't age and are completely invincible. You can do a lot of plot changes when you have a character like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a nice plot device, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Plus, we finally get to see Sentinels, which have been sorely lacking from the X-Men movie franchise since the beginning. So it's nice to see them.
Yeah, it is. It is exciting. Some new X-Men in this one. I think Bishop is one of the bigger deals that will be in here. He's a pretty well-known guy. No Cyclops, which I think probably makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not convinced that we won't see him show up in the end. You know, he was killed kind of off screen in a very unceremonious way in X-Men 3, And Bryan Singer kind of said this is the movie that's going to go back and set some wrongs right. So I kind of feel that maybe going back in time and changing the timeline might somehow make Cyclops come back. That's pure speculation on my part, but if that happens, you heard it here first.
Okay, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Now, one thing I am a little bit pissed about. Still haven't had a good Gambit in any of these any of these situations. I think he showed up in the Wolverine spinoff, maybe.
Yeah, X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah,
which is literally the worst movie I've ever seen in theaters. not an exaggeration at all. And that's really disappointing to me. He was always one of my favorite, and I liked playing with him in all the video games, so on and so forth. And yet another movie is going to pass. But I got to be honest, I'm really looking forward to seeing Fassbender and McClellan both get to do Magneto, as well as Stewart and James McAvoy. Is that his name?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm really excited for that dichotomy, because I think personally, individually, I really enjoyed how all four of those people embodied their characters.
Sure.
And to get to see that in the same movie, I think is going to be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
And I wonder, do they have a... are they going to bring back Rebecca Romijn for a dual Mystique situation? Or is, like, Jennifer Lawrence just, like, dominating? Like, they can't afford to give up any of her screen time. And it's, like, going to be all her.
So that's actually a huge concern. So I think it's just her.
That would make sense.
By the way.
One thing I didn't understand...
Is that correct, Derek? Do you happen to know?
I don't know for certain. Yeah, I'm in First Class. They did have a quick Rebecca Romijn cameo when she turned all slightly older. Maybe we'll see something like that again.
Gotta have J-Law. Gotta get her like 30 minutes on the screen right there, for sure.
That's what people are freaking out about, actually, is that Mystique is gonna become like this Mystique show. And that there's so much about this narrative that has nothing to do with Mystique. There's a concern that because Jennifer Lawrence is, I guess at this point, maybe the biggest name, like most recognizable name in the film, she's going to get like an inordinate amount of screen time.
Oh, for sure. I think that they already, that kind of slightly revealed itself in X-Men First Class. So because they really kind of instead of having like the relationship between Magneto and Xavier kind of be between them, they use her as the kind of like lightning rod for that relationship and kind of show it all through her. And so I think that they purposely did that, and I'm sure that she'll find herself doing some interesting things this movie too, I'm sure.
Yeah. One other thing that I think is kind of interesting to note about the new movie is a big part of the original trilogy was Rogue, Anna Paquin. She filmed a few scenes for this new movie. And originally, they were all cut out of the final theatrical release.
Really?
And then, yeah, which was kind of big news. And people were a little up in arms over that. But in recent weeks, there have been rumors, and I believe actually even confirmed that some of her scenes were put back into the movie. So we should see Rogue at least a little bit in the new one.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
Love a little Rogue Iceman situation.
Yeah, truth.
No, just ice the lip. will you be seeing this one in theaters? Yes or no, Derek?
Yes, this is also a midnight release kind of movie for me.
Eric, you are filling up your Fridays pretty quick here, or Thursday nights.
I know. Those are Thursdays.
Yeah, I'm going to have some very tired Friday mornings at the office.
Mm-hmm. Teo?
This is definitely a theater movie for me. Yeah, I like the first one I did not see in theaters, but I really enjoyed it, so I'm gonna make the effort to get out there for this one.
Yeah, I saw First Class in theaters and really, really enjoyed it. Saw a couple of the first three in theaters. Big on the X-Men. I'm all in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so a couple other movies that we're just going to touch on real briefly in the superhero realm. Guardians of the Galaxy, which is kind of an undercover movie that, would you say, is specifically going to be marketed towards the kind of comic book, I hate to say nerd, but enthusiast population, Derek?
I think that's pretty fair. It's definitely the biggest risk Marvel has taken since Iron Man 1. It's the biggest unknown property of their movies. I'm excited for it as a comic book fan. The kind of galactic quote-unquote galactic Marvel universe, the stuff that doesn't take place on Earth, has been excellent as far as the comics are concerned for, like, going on nearly the last decade. And I'm really excited to see how it translates to the big screen.
Yeah, I am not familiar with this and probably will not be seeing it. But with that being said, it's very intriguing to look at the casting and the characters. And then, kind of like you say, where it plans to go in that universe that has been explored through the Avengers, through Iron Man, so on and so forth, through that kind of suite of films. This is all part of that. This is all theoretically in the same galaxy or universe. But more specifically, it's space-facing, shall we say, or whatever that idea is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be the big reveal of the kind of overarching Avengers villain, the big bad, if you will, that got a very, very small piece of screen time in the post credits a scene of Avengers, who's Thanos, who's like this crazy omnipotent badass, and we might see him in Avengers 2. I'm not sure if we will, but I think it's all going to come to a head in Avengers 3, but we'll get the first big reveal of him in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then the names, again. So we have Bradley Cooper playing a talking raccoon that CGI created, which it's kind of the exact opposite of the Jennifer Lawrence thing, where they have probably the biggest name in the film, and they are turning him into something that is not going to use his very recognizable face. Sure. We also have Zoe Saldana, she of Avatar fame, and she will be playing some sort of alien creature. To my knowledge, Vin Diesel is playing a tree that talks but doesn't really talk, but I don't really know exactly what's going on.
Damn, a sentient tree named Groot.
Okay, is it supposed to talk, or does it like just make sounds?
I'm imagining he's a Lord of the Rings ish kind of guy.
Oh,
kind of
an ent? Like
ent. Yeah, kind that's of like what I'm an thinking. Ent. Think
well,
ent.
I have no basis for that, but that's what I would imagine.
Fair. Okay. Now, Vin does have some experience in this realm. Do you guys know Vin Diesel's most famous voice role?
Oh, is it the Iron Giant?
It is the Iron Giant, yeah.
Oh, he's the Iron Giant. I didn't know that.
He is the Iron Giant. Yeah, it's really good stuff. Oh, go ahead.
Funny. Oh, I was going to say he did, like, Iron Giant, Saving Private Ryan. He had a bunch of these, like, tiny little bops before before Fast and the Furious popped him out there.
Yeah, Vin Diesel's actually a really interesting career study. He's like, I think he's like kind of a method actor, and he did a lot of like self tapes, kind of before there was any sort of YouTube to put your work on or anything like that. And he's also a huge nerd, like deep in the Dungeons and Dragons situation, very well respected in that realm. Really into comic books, and I think he said that this is one of his most excited roles. He's most excited for this role for the first time in a while.
Now that's cool. I like that he's a method actor, because most of his roles are just like tough guy. So that's a good way to be a method actor right there.
Well, it's easy to be a method actor.
You just like be a tough dude.
All right. Guardians of the Galaxy, yay or nay?
Definite yay for me.
Then I'm gonna go. That's gonna go with Transformers in the FX Sunday afternoon pile.
And that's gonna be a big negative for me as well. I don't think I will be spending my soft earned money to see Guardians of the Galaxy. And then lastly, in the superhero realm, Hercules with The Rock.
Hercules.
The original superhero, if you will.
Half man, half god. I don't think I'm going to see this because I'm kind of over remakes, and there was a Disney movie from the mid-90s that I think kind of told the story of Hercules as well as it needed to be told.
It's pretty good, but this does have The Rock in it, and The Rock makes everything better.
It does look really badass.
This is one of those just really so you know how they did another Hercules movie about 3 or 4 months ago, and right. I feel like this is going to be, like, I don't know how, I feel like they're both going to be pretty poor, but this one for some reason I feel like is going to be a little bit better. I just believe in The Rock a little more. Like, I think this guy is going to produce something he's always entertaining. He can. I've watched a couple movies with him being the main guy. He can carry a movie. So
standing tall.
I don't know. I wouldn't be walking. Oh man. Oh, standing tall or
walking tall.
Yeah.
Walking
tall. That's is that the one with and the Sean William Scott?
I think Walking Tall is the one where he walks around with like the big piece of wood and just beating people up like it's WWE in real life. And the Rundown, I think, is one with Sean William Scott.
Yes, that sounds right, because I remember one of them the one where they fight in the windmill at the end, and the other one's the one where Christopher Walken is the badass. And I like both of those movies a lot. So I don't know. This one's got a puncher's chance for me.
Okay. Will you be seeing the Rock Hercules movie, Derek?
I will be seeing it, yes.
KO.
I can't say that I definitely will, but I wouldn't mind seeing it, that's for sure. Like it's not gonna be a go to, but it's on the list. It's made the list for sure. I'm gonna give The Rock a shot here.
Yeah, I would say that if I had a magic eight ball, it would say like chances are looking good. Something along those lines. Okay, into our last defined group, and this is the comedies, and I always think that the summer comedy is kind of a unique beast because I think it has to hit a certain vein, you know, and I think there are movies that end up working out, Bridesmaids, Something About Mary, these sort of movies, and there's a few coming out that I think we'd like to talk about. The first one is the one that has been all over everything if you turn on the television, and this is the Seth Rogen and Zac Efron joint, Neighbors. I don't know if I think this is going to be funny. I can't decide. I feel like it might be a situation where all of the funny parts are in the trailer.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. You know, I like Seth Rogen a lot, but then I see Seth Rogen and then I see Zac Efron, and I just don't know what to make of that.
See, I can believe Zac Efron is like a semi-douchey frat kid. 1,000 times more than I can believe Seth Rogen is like a responsible adult of any kind, you know?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Seth Rogen is he's not the straight man in a comedy duo. He is just like not his place in that scenario. And so it's interesting that that's what he's doing here. So I don't know. I think that I feel like he probably wrote this movie or something. So that's why he's in it. I feel like they could have picked, I want someone a little more uptight and that would get irked a little bit. I think Christian and I think we had this conversation, and who was one of the good ones? Luke Wilson, I think, could do a good one.
Just run it right back.
Or we could have Will Ferrell could do another old school alum. Will Ferrell, I think, would be a good like straight man to play against those guys. So, but I'm curious. I hope it's good because I think I like the concept. I think it could be funny, and so I hope that they deliver here.
Yeah, I really wish young Tim Allen could be here, like Santa Claus era Tim Allen. I think he would be the ideal neighbor, because I think he could play the straight man, but he could also kind of hold his own. So I don't know. I feel like this movie has been just in the works for so long that it's finally going to come out. I think it has a pretty high likelihood of falling on its face.
Apparently, this is the movie that pushed Zac Efron over the edge, so it could become infamous for other reasons. Kind of like that Herbie Fully Loaded for Lindsay Lohan. That would be kind of like, wow, this chick is off the rails. Like, what is, like, Zac Efron, I think part of the reason this thing has had some like delays and stuff is he was just a hellish person to deal with during filming apparently, and so it's going to be so I'm wondering, I hope it goes down in history for other reasons than the quality of the movie.
Also fought a bum in LA.
Yeah, that was a really weird thing.
Skid Row, and they were waiting for an Uber, and he fought a bum.
Apparently, like that just makes no sense. Like, you're not on Skid Row in the middle of the night unless you're trying to get drugs, and so I just really didn't understand that. That story, but I guess he sold it and people are buying it, so
yeah, there's also like a story where he like slipped on some water and broke his jaw.
Yeah,
that can't be
like
right.
Around his house, he's like, I was just walking around the house and there's some water on the ground, I fell and broke my jaw. Like, that doesn't happen to normal people. Like, that wouldn't fly if I broke my jaw and went into work. Like, what happens, like, oh, I slipped in some water. Okay, will you guys be seeing Neighbors?
No, that's not a theater movie for me.
Yeah. Hell no. Absolutely not. Zero chance. Eric?
Yeah, I'm with both of you guys on this. I typically do not see comedies in the theater just because I don't think you get a lot out of that experience.
Okay.
For me, comedies are what you watch on the TV. So yeah, I'm going to say no.
Naked in your Moo Moo?
What's that?
That's what you watch on the TV, Naked in your Moo Moo?
That's absolutely correct. Man, I need to get a Moo Moo. I should buy a Moo Moo.
A Moo Moo is such a good name for that piece of clothing also. Like, that's just, it works so well. Anyways, okay, so are there any, I guess before we continue on to the ones that we're going to talk about, are there any comedies you guys are planning on seeing in theaters or would like to see?
So for me, I know I will be making an effort to get to 22 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the first movie. They hit it on point. Like, I don't know why. I've seen that movie probably 10 times, just variously through, like, reruns on cable, and, like, it being on HBO or something, and I've just, like, watched so many parts of it, and it's a really good, replayable movie, and so I'm going to, I don't know if the second one's going to be as good, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it doesn't get that much less funny. Like, the jokes continue to play, and unlike some movies that are like that, like, Anchorman, I think, is kind of like that, where the jokes continue to play. It was actually funny the first time, too. The first time I saw Anchorman, I did not think it was particularly funny, but, you know, the 30th time it was funny. Whereas 21 Jump Street has just kind of been on point. So I, too, am looking forward to Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill joining forces once again to play those characters. And I think, and I'm hoping there's a little more Ice Cube in this one.
I hope so.
I could definitely use a little more Cube. That first one was responsible for a couple of, like, my, you know, favorite quotes of the last 5 years from comedies. Yeah, they were there finger popping each other's assholes. It's the best, dude. That was great. And I also love when his mom's like, I know about parties. I partied with Robert Downey Jr. before he was clean, and he was a fuck ton more fun. I love that. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think those are well made films. So that will be one I will be seeing. And then one that I think kind of falls in the mid range would be A Million Ways to Die in the West. And this is one that has started to pop up a little bit more on the trailer circuit recently. And it's a Seth MacFarlane joint. So the guy behind Family Guy, as well as Ted, which I thought was quite funny. Basically made a Western comedy that involves Liam Neeson and Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, the cast is pretty cool in it. I think that's the only reason I'm at all intrigued by this movie, is to see it. Also, Christopher Lloyd's up in the mix.
Really?
Old Doc Brown, yeah.
I did not
so
know that.
So that's cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We also have, there's also a little bit of Sarah Silverman, who used to be famous, and now is hopefully still funny, but we'll see. And then
also used to be famous, Giovanni Ribisi.
I think Giovanni Ribisi has teetered on the edge of fame for basically
his
all
whole career.
Yeah, I think he's exactly where he wants
to be. Who that person is? Like, I couldn't put a face on them.
Giovanni Ribisi. He's the bad guy from Avatar. He's the bad guy from Ted.
Oh, yeah. That guy. I like that guy. He's I think I always like whatever characters he plays. He plays like kind of creepy, weird dudes. It's like a perfect, it's a nice little niche you got there. Him and it's like a poor man Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, I think he's the next generation Steve Buscemi, definitely.
He doesn't have the eyes. He doesn't have the eyes to really fully capture that weirdness, but he's like close to that.
Yeah, I concur with that. I concur. I don't think I'll be seeing that one in theaters, though.
No, I agree with you there.
I did think Ted was funny. Did you like Ted? Did you laugh at that?
I have not seen it, but I've heard really good things about it.
That's I'd say that one's kind of the opposite of 22 Jump Street in that it gets less funny the more times you watch it. Like, the jokes aren't as funny. It's like
Family Guy.
It's exactly like Family Guy.
Yes, very much so. You're kind of like, is it okay that I'm laughing at this? And do they really need to make that joke? Yeah, when you hear you can only hear so many Jew jokes before you kind of like start thinking. Because you really need to keep saying that. But I don't know. Ted had some good spots in it. But yeah, it's not a you're right. It doesn't. I find Family Guy very rewatchable, actually. But Ted just was. I don't know. I tried to watch it a second time and I had to stop. It just wasn't it for me.
Yeah. It's like the first time you watch it, it's like, oh, that was witty. I can laugh at that. And then the second time, it's like, wow, that is actually fucked up. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't get the whole thing the first time.
Yeah, and they tried to do the whole thing with Flash Gordon, which like kind of played, but it wasn't like super. I don't know. It was an interesting movie. I think like Mila Kunis is probably my favorite part of that movie.
Really. Mila Kunis is my favorite part of most films that she's in. She's actually in a movie this summer.
No shit.
With
what movie?
22 Jump Street.
Yeah, she's with 22 Jump Street.
She's starring.
Channing Tatum in Jupiter Rising. She is Jupiter, I think.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how she's the queen of the universe, but she's That's also like a janitor.
She's like a janitor from Ukraine who just happens to like be the queen, and Channing Tatum somehow is involved as like, you know, I'm sure some mercenary soldier type person.
I think he's an intergalactic bounty hunter who has part wolf blood.
Whoa.
Man, I'm liking this movie. This sounds great.
That got a little detailed. I didn't realize that was a...
That's about all I know about the movie. it's because he looks like a ridiculous human being. He has like bleach blonde hair and really pointy ears and this funny mustache goatee thing. And I think it's because he's part like wolf creature in whatever world is out there. It's by the two people who made The Matrix.
The Wachowski brothers. Or Wachowski siblings,
The Wachowskis.
Well, that's... Yeah.
And I don't... Is that still a ringing endorsement?
I don't think so. I think Matrix Revolutions kind of made it not a ringing endorsement anymore.
Yeah, I really didn't like Speed Racer. I thought it was a crap movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty...
Oh, they did Speed Racer?
Yeah.
That movie was very difficult to watch, I have to say. Like, I kind of got a headache watching that movie.
Well, I think it's the kind of thing that gives kids seizures. Not joking. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, much like the original anime.
Sure. Just like that. Okay. Well, any other films we want to talk about? Anything else we're excited about this summer before we call it a day?
The one movie I'm kind of intrigued to watch, I saw a trailer or a preview for it at WonderCon, was Lucy, which stars Scarlett Johansson. And it's the new Luc Besson movie. He's the guy who did The Professional and Taken. Looks really cool. It's about Scarlett Johansson who unlocks like all the potential of her brain and becomes this crazy, insane, and assassin kind of chick. And it looks pretty badass. And I'm going to go check that one out.
So it's like that Bradley Cooper
it's
movie?
Like the... Yes, it's like the Bradley Cooper movie, but directed by Luc Besson and starring Scarlett Johansson. And does not have Robert De Niro.
Nice.
So it's just like it.
Go and see that.
I'm in on it. KO, you got any other movies you want to see this time around?
You know, there is one that I don't know if I really want to see it, but it has such a good premise that I'm hoping it's good. The Tom Cruise joint. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, Groundhog Day with guns.
It's Groundhog Day, exactly, with guns. And him and I like the actress Emily Blunt. I'm a fan of hers. And I feel like it's a really cool concept. And so I'm really hoping that it's like not like Oblivion. Because I saw that one and it looks like the exact same. Like Tom Cruise's futuristic like military man is like Tom Cruise's new role now, I guess. Like he kind of just created that for himself and just said, I'm only going to do those acting roles. And so I'm really hoping that it doesn't kind of get, I don't know. I'm hoping it's good because I love the concept and I want to see more Groundhog Day-esque movies coming out because I just love like time travel, reliving your past, kind of that whole, I love that whole concept of that whole plot line. So I'm going for Edge of Tomorrow, hoping Tom Cruise can, because apparently they've, all of his movies have bombed in America, but foreign people, like foreign audiences just love Tom Cruise still. So I'm hoping he can bring it back. He can keep his crazy away and help make America, not love him, but not hate him again.
Yeah, it'd be nice for him to have a hit again. It's been a while.
I think we're moving towards arbitrary ambivalence. We're pretty close to there, where it's just like, kind of like you say, Oh, cool.
Are we ready to forgive Tom Cruise yet? Is my question.
I don't think he ever did anything. I think he I think he settled really nicely, like you said, Kay.
Dude, he ruined Katie Holmes' life. All right.
What do you mean, man? She didn't know how good she could have it until she married him, and then she got out. Now she's happy again.
He forced Oprah to have to get a new couch. She had to get a new one. Get that. Throw that one away. He hurt Matt Lauer's feelings. Like, Tom Cruise did a lot of bad things. I think he's on the path to atonement. Hopefully, this is like the final step. This is step number 12. Hopefully, okay. For Tom Cruise.
Well, let's hope so. How about you, Christian? Is there anything else you're looking forward to?
Yeah, there's two other movies that very much intrigue me. One of which is Jersey Boys, which is really a unique entry into the summer movie scene. I think they're probably trying to corner the got dragged along to movie theater with person X don't want to see blow up movie market, which I'm all in on it. But I actually I've seen the play and I love it. I've seen the show and it's great. The singing is wonderful. It's about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. It's kind of that story,
right?
And I don't think I realized how many of their songs I knew and recognized and how good they were until I saw the show. And it's told really well. It has a really great narrative style, and I'm interested to see it brought to the screen in and of itself, but I'm also very interested to see it brought to the screen by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, and I think that's the big draw for me. Love Clint Eastwood, love his movies, so I'm pretty excited to see what he does with it.
Yeah, so that is that's the first one that I might go see. We'll see if there's like a, hey mom, what are you doing type scenario in this summer where I'm just kind of hanging out around Manteca area where they're coming to the city. That could definitely be in play. And then the other one, I don't know if I'm going to see, but I would have been excited for if I hadn't seen the trailer. That's The Giver, which is, it's one of my favorite books. It's probably in my top 3 to 5 books of all time.
I agree with
and
that.
And it still very much plays, too, which is awesome. Yeah. However, in the trailer, there's a couple moments that are pretty unequivocally not in the text. And, like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, after Hollywood fucked up Ender's Game, I'm just, like, a little worried about what they do with young adult adaptations now.
They're really pushing this dystopian future thing, and I think The Giver might be on the wrong side of that bell curve right there. I think it might be coming a little too late for that, so we'll see. I'm hoping it's good, though. I really remember enjoying reading that book as a kid, so I'm hoping that it pans out here.
I mean,
as a film.
The cast is on point. Like, that's the one thing that gives me like a little bit of positivity. I mean, the Meryl Streep joint, you know, like the lady does good stuff. You got the dude playing The Giver. Taylor Swift is involved in the film. I mean, I think that it would be awesome other than, and it's very specifically the part in the trailer where there's like a giant ship that like swoops down on top of him. Like, that's not a thing. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read The Giver, you should go read the fucking Giver. It takes like 2 days. But that's not what happens at all. Like, never.
Certainly not a thing.
It never happens. And I can't imagine how they're going to stay true to the text while incorporating that.
We'll see.
So, I don't know. I think I'm going to wait for it to come out, read some super biased reviews on Reddit or Rotten Tomatoes, and then make my decision.
I think that's very fair.
Sounds a very, very responsible way to look at that.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Well, that is our summer movie preview. Get out there. See him. Derek's going to be at a movie every Thursday night for the next 12 months. It's going to be awesome. He's just going to run it all right back in a year.
Come on out, guys.
Come on out. But
I'll,
hey,
I'll be there.
Feel free to send us your thoughts. We have email addresses. They are our names, Christian, Derek, and Kevin. And we are at keepingitbrief.org. We also have phone numbers, but you should probably go through the email addresses to get those. Sure. As always, we're going to kind of wrap this whole thing up with what we are looking forward to most in the coming weeks. Yeah, what do you got going on?
I am looking forward to kind of this whole weekend. I'm getting to spend time with my family out here in Indiana and seeing my sister graduate. I think it'll be pretty cool. And then on Wednesday, I'm also next week I'm going to be going. My office is setting up a Giants day game activity, so I am very much looking forward to a little daytime baseball action as well. I haven't gone to a game this season yet, so I think that'll be a lot of fun.
That is pretty swell, dude. Jack, what do you got going on?
Well, I think kind of to circle back around on the topic of the night, I'm most looking forward to next Thursday night when I go and see Godzilla at the midnight premiere.
That's awesome. Yeah. That'll be fun.
And how about you, Christian? What do you have?
I actually had a couple things fall to the wayside recently, so my weeks have kind of cleared up over the next little while, which is not unwelcome. So I don't know. I think I'm going to play some disc golf this weekend. It's supposed to be sunny. I'm excited for like a really nice weekend in San Francisco. I'm going to try and get out and, you know, walk around, explore the city a little bit with that weather. So being in the city, I've been traveling for work 3 of the last 4 weeks, and in there also ran a half marathon with some Orange County time. So getting back to kind of sucking the mare out of San Francisco should be a good time.
Yeah, that will be nice.
Well, that is the show. As always, thank you to Laura Peterson for recording our intro and saying the F word.
And thank you to Matt Gravish for putting together our fancy logo.
And thank you to you, the customer.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.